This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got Joanne Doyle on the line. She heads up Not Forgotten, which is a part of Uncharted Ministries. We've talked with Tom Doyle, her husband, many times, and now I have the pleasure of speaking with Joanne. And Joanne, this recent article from Gatestone Institute is describing women's role in the current revolution underway in Iran. And we're going to talk about this development as well as the ministry of Not Forgotten. But I wanted to start out with a couple questions about something this article points out. It's talking about women that are fighting back in different ways, whether it's not wearing a veil or, you know, that's kind of the focus, but there's other ways as well. The Iranian regime issued 2,000 new morality police to stem this movement. And I guess my first question is, why are women viewed as a threat in this context?
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for having me, Katie. I'm so excited to have this chat with you this morning. But yes, definitely the Iranian women that are rising up against the Islamic regime really is their right. God has called and created women to be the spiritual gatekeepers. And even though we see that in scripture, and even though these women are in this culture that says men rule and, you know, women have no rights, that is still their God-given right to be the spiritual gatekeeper. So their rising up really is of what God has woven in their heart, that they can use the voice that He's given them for truth. And sadly, what we see happening, what really took place in 1979 when the revolution took over in Iran, these women have been silenced. They have been pushed in the darkness. They have been cloaked in veils by force. And they are finally saying enough. Enough. And so I think that's really what we're seeing. And it also, okay, one thing I'll add is this is really more of a spiritual issue than it is a political issue. Although it, you know, plays out on the political field, it really is a spiritual issue.
And can you explain why that is? You're just like Tom, you leave great cliffhangers. So I'd like to know more.
Yes, that's great. That's a good question. Well, really, when we go back to the very beginning of time in Genesis, specifically chapter 3, after the fall, we see God come and basically hand out the punishment for Adam and all men, for Eve and all women, and then the serpent, who, of course, is the devil. And what he told Satan is he said that I will, because you've done this, I will put enmity between you and the woman. And enmity, if you look at that definition, it means to actively oppose, to be hostile towards someone. It's really open hatred. And so the battle against women on Satan's end started in the garden, and he has been seeking to destroy women ever since. I think he pretty much holds a grudge, don't you think, all these thousands of years later. Satan mainly attacks women. Obviously, he is a roaring lion seeking to devour all of us. But I think specifically his attack is against women, because that verse in, I think it's verse 15 in chapter 3, goes on to say that the offspring of woman would bruise his head and destroy him. And of course, the offspring is Jesus. And so that's why the battle is really more specifically against women. And that's why it's more spiritual than it is just political. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you for expanding on that. And, you know, I'd like to shift the focus a little bit to the U.S. I looked up the numbers, and I think, according to the latest data I could find, over 500,000 U.S. people identify as having an Iranian heritage. And I'm wondering, with Not Forgotten, do you work with any of the women that fall into this group? I guess, how do you help women come out from behind the veil, so to say?
Yes. You know, we absolutely do work with refugees here, and they're from all countries, including Iran, or people that have just maybe come for political asylum or just tried to get away from their country because they don't like what's going on there. And, you know, in Iran, most of the people, I can't give a percentage, I don't know, but truly most of the people do not like the regime that they are forced to live under. So many of them do flee, especially into California. They say that Los Angeles, they teasingly say it's Tehrangeles. There's so many Iranians there. But our heart with Not Forgotten is to reach out to those women behind the veil, to show them their biblical place of honor that Jesus has reserved just for them as women. And of course, that truth is only made known when they embrace Jesus as Savior. And so part of what we do, of course, is through meeting their physical needs, truly get to their spiritual needs. And that is that they are seeking the wrong God and showing them in a loving way that the true God is, of course, the Father that created the heaven and the earth, and his Son, Jesus, who died for their sins. And they are responding to that truth, which is beautiful to see.
And this women reaching women ministry is really fascinating to me. And for any of our listeners or readers that might want to get involved, might want to learn more, what should they do?
Yes. Well, the first thing I encourage people to do, and I say not just women, this is with men as well, because, you know, these Muslims are coming into our culture, so the playing field is a little different than if we were in their culture. So the first thing I would say is when you're anywhere, the store, the school that your children go to, anywhere that you see a Muslim woman wearing a veil, they stand out the most. Number one, show them that you see them. Engage them in conversation. Show them that they matter. And because, you know, oftentimes women come to another country, men as well, because they're dissatisfied with their own country. And women see the freedom that women have in America or in the West, Canada, you know, Europe, wherever, and they long for that same freedom. So they think, if I come to this new country, I will finally have freedom. Then they come here, and we Americans are afraid of them, or perhaps we even hate them because of 9/11 and all the terrorism that we see. So what do? We reinforce the lie that they don't matter by ignoring them or by pretending we don't see them. So back to show them that you do see them, make eye contact. And if you befriend a Muslim, you just may be the one that is blessed to lead them to faith in Christ. So yeah, that's the first step, is acknowledging them. Because reach a Muslim woman and you truly can reach the Muslim world.
And, you know, I want to equip our prayer warriors too. Going back and looking at the overall picture, how should we pray for specifically for women in Iran and for women who come to the West and maybe are in that isolated situation?
Yes, that's that's a beautiful question, because truly prayer is the work of missions. It is the most important thing that we can do, is to go to the throne and beseech the Father. So to answer the first part of your question, how do we pray for the women that are in Iran? Number one, we pray that God would be working and preparing their hearts, that he would reach them, woo them to himself. You know, we hear about this incredible thing about Muslims having dreams about Jesus. My husband and I pray that all the time, as does our team, that Jesus will begin reaching these women and men in their dreams, and that will set them on a journey to find out who is the true Jesus, not Isa the prophet, but Jesus, the Son of God. So that in that search, they will then find Jesus as their Savior. And I would also pray for these dear women trapped in Islam and Iran. So many of them that are seeking to be brave and bold and to speak truth are being persecuted, being sent to prison. And we know a lot of the prisons, Evin Prison, for example, in Iran, they are notorious. They are horrific. The torture that people endure is horrible. So pray that God would surround them and protect them so that they have the opportunity to respond to faith in Jesus Christ. And then to answer your question over here, what happens, what we've seen this pattern, is that when we go across the ocean and we meet Muslims in their own countries, there is definitely a desperation. Life is hard. You know, they want more than what they have. So when they come into the West, you know, Europe or again, Canada or here in America, they're not quite as desperate. More of their physical needs are being met. They're doing a little bit better financially, perhaps. They do have some freedom. They're not being, you know, yes, they're being ostracized more often than not. But they're not being persecuted in the same way. So that when that desperation leaves, they're not as seeking of the one that created them as they were in their own country. So pray here for the American Muslims that are here now living, that you know, God would continue to give them, at least in their heart, a desperation for truth. And we're seeing Muslims here in America having dreams about Jesus here. So that's continuing that same prayer vein of, Lord Jesus, meet them in their dreams so that they can start that search to find out who Jesus really is. And then I think we can't forget, we need to pray for the American church, that we will drop fear and that we will become bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Paul said, we are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. And if we will just open up our mouths, open up our lips, and bravely proclaim who Jesus is in a loving, you know, in a loving way, that gives, that unleashes the power of God to work in the lives of these dear Muslim people. So
awesome. That wraps up my questions for now. Is there anything I missed or anything else you'd like to add?
The only thing, thank you. The only thing I would add is one of the things that Not Forgotten does that's just so practical, I guess. And it, you know, we, as we're saying, engage Muslims, a lot of people say, well, how do I really do that? So we do what we call seen gatherings, meaning we see behind the veil. And so we will come into your church or to your home group or to, you know, a woman and her friends, or whatever state you live in. I'll bring some of my team members and we will have one day where we will inspire you with what God is doing in the Muslim world, with stories of people, men and women and children coming to faith in Christ. Then we'll inform you a little bit, give you a little bit of Islam 101. Then we will launch you to go out, and we will actually take you to go out to engage Muslims, whether it's for Friday prayers at a mosque or maybe some, you know, Middle Eastern restaurants or boutiques, just with the goal to show you how easy it is and how fun it is to engage Muslims. So if anyone's ever interested in a scene gathering, they can go to our website and find out more about that. We would love to give people the opportunity to host one of those gatherings.
Awesome. I will direct people that way, and I'll end the